Ready, set, go.
Thank you for downloading another fantastic episode of the Couchcasters. This is Alex, and you're listening to episode 7, and I'm here with my favorite gunkle in the entire world.
Andrew G, baby!
Yep.
I was going to start out with a British accent, but I don't know how long I could keep that up. Hello, everyone!
Hello, Governor!
Hello, Governor! Episode 7, yay!
I swear we have not pod faded yet.
That's really sad. Not even 10 episodes and we're done with it.
We are here. So, we are here and we are ready to record and talk about some of our favorite shows.
And favorite stuff that's been going on with us.
Yes.
We've just been really busy. We've had lives, if you can believe it. I know.
Oh my God. I know. What's that all about?
I know. What's that about? We've done stuff. We've gone places. What?
What?
So, just to get you back into the swing of things, let's start with some television shows that maybe you watch or heard about.
Awesome. Well, let's start with True Blood, our favorite of the season.
Oh my God, it's so our favorite of the season.
I know. Oh my gosh. So, we have gotten you guys kind of, hopefully you've caught up, because we're going to go over quite a few of the recent episodes. So, yeah. Antonia?
Yes, the witch.
Yes, she took over Marnie, and Bill put her in his little Bill Vampire prison.
Yes.
And she does mind control on that evil Luis vampire who had messed with her a million years ago.
I know. He had, like, raped her and, like, bit her and
did
all kinds of nasty things to her. So she got him back, baby. Bam.
She did, but in the meantime, she escapes, which is kind of no good for, well, all the vampires.
For all the vampires in Bon Temps, or actually across the world.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, she goes and does that, and she kind of recruits Tara. And
yes.
Tara starts recruiting other people to join her circle to get rid of the vampires. And Tara was like all for it. Power to the people. Let's go. Let's kill these guys.
Tara, again, another season, another issue. Tara clearly, you know, is still reeling from losing her girlfriend. And just she's got all this hatred towards vampires. And she's got hatred right now because it's, you know, Sookie lying to her about Eric. And Tara's just, you know, she's done. Hands clean. She's done.
Yep. Yep, so she starts getting people together. Well, in the meantime,
yes,
Antonia has said, if I get a circle together, I can make the vampires walk in the sun like I did a million years ago.
Yes, and that's awesome.
So she's getting everybody together to do that. Well, of course, the vampires hear about it, and so do the wolves. And the wolves are saying, hey, we're staying out of this, you know. Marcus and Alcide's new pack master, I don't know, pack leader?
Pack master, that is correct.
Is saying no one should be getting involved with this, let them handle their own stuff, and we'll go do our own thing. So, Debbie is like, please, Alcide, you need to leave them alone. And he swears, oh, of course, of course. But they all hear about it, so the vampires know that they're going to have to lock themselves up for the night.
Yes.
And put silver all over them in order to make sure that they're safe.
Because that spell kind of controls their body, and they walk out into the sunlight and burn to death.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. I love the whole, like, you know, laying silver across them and chaining themselves in, like, the basements. That's pretty powerful stuff there, that witch.
That it was. So they're doing that, and they're kind of preparing. Everyone's kind of preparing for this. Everyone except, well, I guess, Lafayette comes back to work and is, like, totally cool with coming back to work, except now he's seeing creepy baby's nanny that we were talking about last episode.
Oh, yes. I don't know why I think she's like this New Orleans, like...
Yeah, she's like singing French lullabies, and she's like around Mikey, creepy baby.
Yeah, she's like the bayou baby.
And he is like, why are you here? Why are you bothering me? Pretty much. And so it starts to lead into a whole another little storyline. Jessica, even though she's all tied up, she kind of leaves. She leaves without telling Hoyt what's going on. She just says, I need to go do something. And she leaves and she goes and gets silvered up by Bill and everyone. Well, Bill doesn't want to see her suffer. So he's like, well, she's not that strong, so you don't need to put as much silver on her. And she ends up getting loose.
Yeah, and she apparently is that strong, Bill.
Bill's trying to convince her to let him free. And so she's like, no, she ends up killing somebody, one of the guards, and then she starts to run towards the door. Well, Jason has that whole connection with her now.
Yes, and is like, which is awesome.
Oh my god, something's happening to Jessica. So he starts running over to Bill's house. He gets attacked by a guard. And you see Jessica open the doors.
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden the sunlight streams in.
Yeah.
And of course, that's where the episode ends.
Of course. Well, we pick up on the next episode where Jason obviously rescues her and covers her
why
up.
Why are you going to kill the cute redhead? Why?
Right? She didn't do nothing to you.
She didn't do nothing to y'all.
So she gets saved by Jason. He brings her back into the house.
And I'm sorry, wait. Yeah, she gets jumped by Jason, and they tumble into the house, doors closed. And what happens? They started, like, making out.
I was like, I don't know. What happened? I don't remember.
They started, like hooking up, like, right there.
They were really too powerful for them. Hello?
Yes. True. I think she did smack him around a few times because she was still under the witch's spell. But then the witch's spell was broken.
If Jason attacked me like that, I would have probably...
You smack him around too?
Well, no, I would have started making out with him. So, let's get that straight. Except, hello, my world was shattered when I found out that 90% of the cast is from different countries and they have different accents.
I know. Oh, I think that's hot. I love it.
Kills it for me. I'm like... You mean he's not a redneck?
Did you really think he was from Bontemps? Is there such a place as Bontemps, Louisiana?
In my mind, there was, Gunkle. Yeah. In my mind, there was.
Well,
and Jason was a football-playing redneck. Yeah. And
he's from Australia, is that correct?
He's totally from Australia.
Yes! Oh, I love it even more. Did you see, I don't know if we talked about this, because it's been a moment. And even if we had talked about this, let's talk about it one more time. Did you see the episode where he did the handstand push-ups?
Yeah.
Who does that?
Apparently Jason does.
Apparently people in Australia, that's who. I'm going down under.
Oh my god. It was gorgeous.
It was amazing. I'm like,
well, it was pretty much in this episode that we were talking about, because they do end up kissing, and he feels totally bad.
He feels guilty, yeah. That's his best friend's girl. That's like his brother's girl.
So, you know, he makes sure she's okay, whatever. He leaves, but then she goes home, and she breaks up with Hoyt.
Yes.
And Hoyt is just heartbroken, upset.
Heartbroken and upset. What's funny is earlier she had fantasized about the breakup with Hoyt, and he was just like devastated and he was crying. He was like somewhat a little pathetic, you know, just don't leave me, please. I'll do whatever I have to do. And so that was her little, you know, vision of what was going to happen. In her vision, she also got so pissed she like broke his neck and then went outside and had sex with Jason. Kind of not the way it went down. She went home to tell Hoyt that they were no longer going to be together. And Hoyt was like, fuck you.
Oh, yeah.
Flint was just like, you're a monster. I don't know how I could ever love such an ugly thing. And he threw her ass out.
He's like, get out. And he banishes her.
He banished her from the house. Like, disinvitation. She went flying out the door. So we all need. Fly your ass out the door.
Right? And why does she... Of course, she ends up at Jason's house.
Of course, because she had nowhere else to go. I think that's actually where we do see Jason doing the handstand push-ups.
Yes, because he is getting so frustrated.
Yeah, she's getting just like, I need to let this energy, I need to exert it and get it out of my body. So let's do handstand push-ups. I myself would order a pizza and watch Notting Hill or Love Actually.
Nice big bowl of ice cream.
With a bowl of ice cream, but not Jason. He does handstand push-ups. Good on him, mate.
So, she comes and he has to banish her too because he said, hey, this is my best friend. I can't go down here. You need to leave. You just need to leave and figure this out on your own.
Yeah, which is kind of cruel. I'm sorry. Like, I understand that he didn't want to be around her at that point because he probably knew he couldn't control himself. But just, I think he could have verbalized that stronger than he did. He basically gave her like two sentences to say, I have nowhere else to go. And he's like, well, it's not my problem, boo. You gotta go. This is night. This girl's getting thrown out of houses and windows.
Right?
This is bullshit. Poor Jessica.
So, yeah. Jessica is kind of, well, she has to go over to Bill's house.
Yeah, she had nowhere else to go.
She doesn't have anywhere else to go. She doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't know what to do. And Jason's totally frustrated. And, well, Hoyt is pissed. But there's so much more going on.
So much more. Ugh.
So, Eric ends up staying in his cubby and getting silvered by Sookie.
Yes.
He doesn't want her to leave him. And so, once everything is over, he's really weak. And she ends up letting him feed off of her. And she's like, if you go overboard, that is it. Oh my God. You are done.
Yeah. You are done, buddy.
But he doesn't. And in return, he lets her drink some of his blood, and then they go into this whole like hallucination.
Is this still the bed in the forest with the snow? That was a little much for me. Okay, so I'm totally loving the Eric and Sookie storyline, and I'm loving that. You know, it's a little off, but I mean, there was obviously attraction there, but it seemed like the last few episodes after Blood, there's just a lot of like mopey, like, I love you, but I can't have you, and if you love me, but we can't be together. Just like not too much action, you know, storyline.
Yeah,
it was just love and sex, and it got boring after, you know. First, it's exciting. Ooh, Eric. Ooh, Sookie. Ooh, sex scene in a forest time with snow dripping over me. But now it's like, oh, stop. Alrighty, can you guys, like, go somewhere and go watch a movie or something? Because you're boring me. It got so much sex and so much nudity that it got boring, and I saw it all.
Yeah.
He's naked.
I don't need to see your ass again. It's okay. I've seen it.
Yeah. You've seen it, yeah. It's not as fun. Yes. Sookie primarily wants to join the fight and you know, stand up for her men, we come to find out.
Yes, yes. And Lafayette. Okay, so this is where the whole Lafayette thing comes in.
Yes.
The lady around him that Lafayette is seeing, which is the spirit of who we come to find out, Mavis, who we saw kind of her story, how she got pregnant from her lover, and she was like a slave or a nanny or something to that effect. And she had the baby, and they...
Well, I think what happened was, yeah, she was like a slave or a nanny of some sort. She was the help, and one of the, you know, husbands took a liking to her. She got pregnant, had a baby, and one night the husband was like, yo, I can't let nobody find out about us. Like, ooh, I had a little New Orleans accent there.
Yeah, you did. Oh, wow.
Ooh, scary. I'm being possessed by Mavis. Oh, Lord, child, let me tell you. So, yes, the husband's like, no more DL. He ended up killing the baby and burying it somewhere. And, you know, he ended up killing Mavis.
Yeah, so that's why Mavis was there. She had this connection Mavis to the baby haunting. And the doll, because that doll was the doll she was going to give to her baby.
Yeah, that was sad.
It was really sad. So, Mavis's spirit jumps in Lafayette. Lafayette goes and kidnaps Mikey and the doll.
Mm-hmm. Because she's confused and she thinks, that's her baby. Yeah. That's her baby.
And basically they have to figure out everything and they're going to try to like shoot Lafayette or something. They don't know what to do with him.
They don't know what the hell Lafayette's on. They think he's tripping. So, I mean, Andy's involved and Terry and
Hoyt ends up seeing the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Terry and
Arlene. Everyone's panicked. Yeah. They're calling the police. They're calling Jason. They're like, somebody help us. Finally, I believe, was it Terry?
No. It was Jesus.
Someone called Jesus. I can't remember who exactly. But someone said, like, you need to go get your boo because he's crazy and he took my baby.
Yeah.
And so Jesus, of course, goes to rescue his man and immediately recognizes and, you know,
figures out that what's happening
and Lafayette's possessed, yes. Because of the whole Dio Luca thing, little incident back in Mexico two episodes ago. Boom. Go.
So they kind of... They lead Lafayette and Mavis to basically deal with what had happened, and they end up finding the dead baby. And
the dead baby.
Yeah, so she's able to kind of let the baby rest, and the baby's buried in, like, Hoyt's backyard.
Yeah, creepy.
And Mavis is there with her, so they kind of helped facilitate her kind of...
crossing over.
Yeah. Finishing her story.
Peace, closure. And it was nice.
Yeah, it was.
I thought that whole storyline was going to go in a different direction.
I thought it was going to be creepy, but it wasn't.
Creepy baby, creepy nanny, creepy poltergeist, like, you know. But no, it turned out to be a very sweet kind of, you know, Lafayette used his powers, which hopefully will come into play before the finale. He used his powers to help someone cross over.
Yeah.
Find redemption, and yay. Yay for Lafayette.
Yay. So, also, we have Sam. Oh, my gosh. Sam and Tommy and Luna.
Tommy, Luna, the Packmaster.
Yeah, we find out, like we thought, the Packmaster, Marcus, is Luna's...
baby daddy. He is the father, Maury.
And he stops by the house, and he finds
Sam. Of course he does.
Sam.
Finds Sam and Luna together, laughing and smiling and having a good old time.
With the baby girl. And he obviously gets pissed, and he tells Sam, you know, you better watch your back. You mess with the wrong person. So that set us up for a couple future episodes. But, yeah. And Tommy's up to no good still. He did make a deal with the gas man.
Yes.
He became Maxine.
Sell part of...
So Tommy becomes Maxine.
Yes.
And meets with that businessman to try to sell her land and the natural gas rights.
Yes.
And finds out, like, that it's nothing.
Yeah, it's eventually worth, it's nothing. At one point it was worth, you know, like 20 grand or whatever. Now it's worth about 580 bucks. And so Tommy being the schemer and douchebag that he is, he's like, fine, shit.
Give it to me.
I'll take it. Where do I sign? Give me my 500 bucks.
Bill takes it, yep. And Bill. Oh God, Bill. So Bill says, okay, we need to fix this thing with the witch. I'm going to set up a meeting with her. They decide to meet inside the, what's that called? Cemetery.
They decide to do a truce.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, thank you. I did go to school at one point, people. Yes. Yes.
They decide to have a truce.
Facilitate. That's the word of the day. Facilitate. Everyone's facilitating. Yes.
So they're
going, Bill and Marnie. Okay.
Okay.
Bill and Marnie decide that in order for both sides not to be killed, that they're going to have a little truce in the graveyard at midnight. Which, of course, hello, great idea. Midnight.
Right.
Graveyard. Like, nothing possibly could go wrong.
So, yeah. Of course, Antonia / Marnie is not alone. She's with a whole bunch of her witches.
Yeah.
And, of course, Bill is not alone. He is with Sookie and Eric and Pam and a whole bunch of vampires.
I love the visual of that. I love sort of stories like this where there's clearly like a your team versus my team type of aspect to it. So it was really cool to see in the graveyard Marnie with Tara, Holly, one of the witches, mm-hmm. and one of the waitresses, and like an assortment of people that we've seen throughout the series. And then on the other side, you have Bill, and you have Sookie and Eric, and they're like on Team Vampire. I just love that. I thought it was just so cool. And just like, yes, sides are drawn. Whose side are you on? Like,
well, and then having Sookie
was on? Damn it! I missed that episode.
Having Sookie see Tara.
GTL.
Right. Having Sookie see Tara from across the graveyard and realize that, oh my god, like, she's on their side. Kind of, like, wrapped up that whole episode for me. That whole idea, like you were saying, of the lines being drawn and where do you fall.
Yeah.
And, of course, what happens?
What happens?
It can't be a normal little...
Marnie the witch... Oh, what? There's so many things that happen. Marnie the witch creates like this veil of fog, so people are attacking each other left and right in the graveyard. Sookie gets shot. Bum, bum, bum. Eric sort of gets another spell placed on him to become Marnie's lapdog. Bill is about to be silvered, I think. Like, two guys jumped him, and they were about to silver him.
Yeah, there was, like, all kinds of things happening all over the place.
Yes, oh, and at one point, Taro, I think, was about to be eaten by Pam, and Bill stopped Pam and said, let her be. And Bill and Taro have this, like, obviously I'm not going to let you get hurt, because
I know you're Sookie's girl, and...
Sookie's girl, and I could never, you know... hurt Sookie like that.
Yeah.
It was an unspoken connection. They didn't have to say it. I felt it.
And Alcide, of course, could not leave well enough alone.
My baby. I'm so excited.
Debbie said, do not go over there. Please promise me that you will not be a part of that.
Yeah.
And he said, of course, I promise you. And, of course, he turns into a wolf and he runs over. And good thing he does, because everyone is too busy getting their ass beat to rescue Sookie, but Alcide does. He ends up getting her and running away. That way she could be okay.
Yes.
She takes her back to her house.
And Debbie saw the whole thing. Mm-hmm,
yeah, because she
Debbie
was creeping.
Debbie saw the whole thing. She turned into a wolf, okay? She followed her man. She changed back into a human. She said, I know he's not helping that hoe. That's what she said. In my mind, that's what she said. But I was like, I don't care. Debbie, you stupid.
You're stupid.
You a trailer trash werewolf hoe. And I'm glad Elsie cheated on you, girl, because let me tell you.
Woo-wee,
child. Elsie just needs to stay away from him some trailer trash. That's a hoe. He needs to hook up with preferably Eric or Bill, or me. but if not, then... fourth place can go to Sookie. Thank you. And I am done. Boom.
Boom. There goes the microphone.
There goes the microphone. Sacred topic. Yeah, so, yeah. Debbie saw Alcide help Sookie. Elsie brings Sookie back to the house. Bill comes chasing in. Actually, I don't even think Elsie made it to the house. Bill, like, snatched up Sookie, like, halfway there.
And so, he starts giving her his blood. And now she has Eric's blood and Vampire Bill's blood again. And she's all effed up in the head.
She is.
Because she doesn't know which one she wants.
She's got, like, this connection to them both now.
Mm-hmm.
Not that she didn't before, but now, I mean, it's a very, like, physiological?
Ooh.
I think I did. I don't know if I made it up or not, but I sounded smart.
For it.
They got a very physiological thing going on.
Commit.
Commit to your... Oh, my God, I'm going to love that. Commit to your stupidity. Yes. They got a very physiological thing going on. And, she's got, like, hormones for both of them right now. And
you cannot do that when I'm taking a sip out of Big Mama. I'm just saying.
Physiological stupidity. Yeah, so...
My wine is very important to me, Gungle.
I'm sorry,
I cannot afford to be spitting it all over my laptop.
That's why you're supposed to drink wine with a straw. Hello?
I haven't gotten that part of my present yet. FYI, if anyone wants to get me a straw big enough to fit in Big Mama...
Yes.
So I can drink my wine, I would be truly, truly appreciative.
Yes, classy, not trashy. That's how we roll, okay?
It's classy with a K, okay?
It's classy with a K. You don't spill your wine. You can drink it with a straw, but don't spill it.
Come on.
That is not acceptable. So we're back in the house, if you're still following with us and haven't turned us off. We are back in the house with... Sookie being revived by Bill's blood, and of course, you know, Alcide's happy to see her alive, Bill's happy to see her alive, and this dumb hoe says, "Where's Eric? Is Eric okay?" And Alcide's like,
"Dumb hoe? Oh my gosh, she just had like crazy magical fairy snow in the forest sex with him. Of course she's gonna be like that."
Hey, Elsie, where'd you come from, boo? Like, say hello to the man. She was just like, where's Eric? Is Eric okay? Does anyone know where Eric's at? And Elsie was like, all right, I'm out. I told Debbie I was going to be out. I should have listened. I got to go. And he took off running. Good for Elsie. Come on home, baby. And Bill, I don't know what happened with Bill. What did Bill do?
I don't know. That was pretty much it for that episode. He didn't... He went back. He was told that they were going to continue with the Festival of Tolerance. And he needed to kind of get ready for that.
Yes.
But in the meantime, Marnie has multiple vampires under her spell. She takes them back to her magic shop. And now she comes back and, you know, they're like, yeah, wasn't that great? Awesome. Cool. And then she's like, hold on. No one's leaving. It didn't work. I wanted this to go a whole different way. Let's think about this. We need to get ready for our big adventure tomorrow, basically, which is the Festival of Tolerance, where I plan on killing Vampire Bill.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. So, they go back to Sam and Tommy, because Sam, well, of course, Tommy is at Merlot's, and Marcus comes in and says, where is Sam Merlot? And, of course, Tommy starts to, like, stand up for his brother for once.
Tommy is such a frustrating character. Like, he's a douchebag, but he hates Sam, but then he kind of loves Sam because Sam's, like, the only family that he's really known that's been really good to him. But at the same time, he always wants to screw Sam over. But then at the same time, that's his brother. Like,
really Tommy, complicated.
Really complicated. Like, I know you're, what, 17, 18, but come on. It's your brother that you're going to, you know, be down for, or you're just going to try to screw him out of millions. What? Pick a side.
Yeah. Choose. One or the other. You can't have both.
That's what this season's about. Choose your side. Damn it.
So, Marcus is looking for him because he can't find them at the house, because after Marcus left the house, Sam told Luna, hey, let's take the girl, let's go on a camping trip and get out of town. And Tommy is going, hey, why do you want Sam? And Marcus says, you tell your brother to meet me somewhere tonight so that I can talk to him. Otherwise, there's going to be some serious issues. Well, Tommy takes it in his own hands again, turns into Sam again.
Dummy!
I know. And he ends up going down to Marcus's shop, where he gets beat by the wolf pack.
Of course. Who Alcide is also... Okay, so this is... I can't miss a moment to talk about Alcide. Debbie's been trying to get him more involved with the wolf pack, and, like, these are our brethren, and you need to be, you know, their best friends, you know, and you need to be down for them. So they accept us, and we're, you know, one big happy wolf family. So Marcus asks Alcide, why don't you hang out with me tonight? I have this guy coming over. You know, just be there just to, you know, be intimidating. You're 6'5 and amazingly handsome and gorgeous.
Okay. I don't think that's what he said.
But that's what he's probably thinking.
You have muscles for days.
Just intimidate this guy for me. And, you know, you'll be there in case anything goes down. And he's like, okay, well, I'm not about, you know, hurting people. But, yeah, I can look mean and tough. So that's when Tommy, dressed as Sam, comes in. And, of course, Tommy with the mouth again. I mean, what did you think was going to happen? So Marcus gets upset, and that's when they all start beating him up. And Alcide, my baby takes good care of, you know, his people. He sticks to his word, and he's like, look, Marcus. He should have said, look, Marcus, lay your hands off the boy, okay? You're beating him to a bloody pulp. I didn't come up in this shop for this. I'm not here to kill nobody. And Alcide picks up, oh my God, whew, he picks up Tommy in his hands, and he takes him away. Oh, that's my baby. What a good guy. I mean,
he really said, hey, this is way too much. What do you think you're doing? This is not right. We can't be doing this.
Yeah.
So
he took him in the truck. He got him out of that shop. Poor Tommy, you know, is all I'm sorry. Might have misspoke for a second there. Before Alcide picked up Tommy, Tommy ends up switching back into his true form, so they see, they're like, oh my God, this isn't Sam Merlot. This is his brother from the shop. He's a shifter. Oh, fuck, what are we going to do?
Yep.
And that's when Alcide picks him up and says, you fucking wolves.
I love how just you happen to know all of Alcide's lines and nothing else. I don't remember anything else in the last 3 weeks. But Alcide's lines are down.
I'm either making up Alcide's lines, or this is a show I've been watching secretly in my head. It's called The Alcide Show. Are you not watching? Because you guys should totally watch The Alcide Show. So Alcide is driving Tommy down the highway and trying to get him to a hospital.
And Tommy says, no, no, no.
No, no, no. Take me to my home.
Take me home.
Oh, so sweet.
Yes, and he goes, where's home?
Merlot's.
So take me to Merlot's. So they're heading over there. But this is when things turn for Miss Jessica and Mr. Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Hoyt goes over to the house, is like, wow, I'm really sad. This is just really bad, but I have a whole bunch of Jessica's crap at the house. Here's a box of her stuff. Can you take it to her? And of course, Jason's like, but, I don't want to.
Yeah. This is your problem, boo. Why am I involved?
But he does it anyways because he loves Hoyt. And he goes to take it to Jessica at Bill's mansion. And
yes. Don't forget, Hoyt wrote all these horrible things on the box. Just like, you're a monster, monster's possessions, and just all these horrible things about Jessica on the box. And by the time Jason had got to Bill's, to see Jessica deliver this package, he had blacked out all the horrible things that Hoyt had wrote. Dear.
Wasn't that so cute?
That was so sweet and cute. And I think even Jessica mentioned, like, oh, what does that say? And he's like, oh, it just said, you know, your belongings. And she's like, yeah, right.
Sure. It did. So, yeah, dropping off a box to Jessica turned into having sex with Jessica in the back of his truck. Hello? Right?
Straight up, like,
yeah,
like sexual sex. Like, oh, yes, it was all like, I mean, you can only look at someone cute and flirty for so long before it's going down. And that's clearly
what happened.
That's clearly what happened. One second they're at the doorway, next thing, truck full on, oh. Okay, please edit that.
No, out. That is staying in, buddy.
Welcome to the Couchcasters. That's horrible.
So, yeah, he's trying to figure out what he's doing there. They're enjoying themselves. But, Debbie goes over to Sookie's house, sits down with Sookie, and is like, Sookie, will you be my friend? Please tell me that you and Alcide aren't together. Please make, you know, everything is fine. Sookie's like, dude, I have way too many men in my life right now. I can't decide. I don't need Elsie.
Word. What the hell is wrong with Sookie?
She's like, everything is fine. She's like, don't worry about us. There's nothing between us. He's obviously in love with you. Have no idea why, but he is. So she gets her to kind of cook up this plan together.
Yes. And it's funny, the whole time that Debbie is with Sookie, I mean, even though she's like, you know, I'm just jealous of you, Sookie, and, you know, I know he cares about you, and I know you guys are just friends. That whole time, I really did feel like she was going to, like, shank Sookie. Like, there was going to be a gun, or there was going to be... Like, I don't care.
I did not trust her one bit.
He says she's rehabilitated. I don't trust you one bit, ho.
No.
I'm watching you trailer trash, ho. And so,
My eyes are on you.
Sookie, be careful, because
I don't trust you see these eyes? These are judgy eyes.
Judgy eyes.
I can see right through you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they can see that you trash, Debbie.
So, Debbie went to the magic shop and was trying to distract Marnie. And Sookie's, like, climbing through back windows and stuff, trying to find Eric.
Hello, MacGyver. Boom.
Right? And what does she see? Eric is like, I don't know who you are. What's going on?
Yeah, for Eric, he's a spell.
So, she also overhears, well, Marnie's plans to kill Bill. She asks Eric, what are you doing? Eric says, I need to kill the king. Ah.
Yes.
And so she tries to, like, escape without, without anyone knowing. And, of course, she gets caught. And
of course she does.
Tara is there with a gun. And Tara is like, I don't know what you're hearing.
Yeah. And poor Tara, doing everything she can to get Sookie to listen to her thoughts. She's like making all, you know, she's saying all these words to act like, bitch, get out of our witch shop. We all about witches. And she's like, listen to me, Sookie. Look at my eyes.
So she ends up listening to her thoughts, and she says, hey, they're going to kill Bill. Try to go and come towards me and rush me and run out of here. So she does it. She's
like, we're being trapped. This home.
She won't let us out.
Not let us out.
Yeah, so she does it, and they run away. Everyone else is left in the magic shop. So this is, okay, this last episode was, like, awesome, I thought.
Yes.
They're at the Festival of Tolerance, and Bill's, like, going up there, and, you know, everything is, like, building up to this big, like, major point. And Sookie, like, runs in, and she's like, no! you're going to get attacked. And all of a sudden, everyone starts, like, fighting and, you know, getting swished up by the witches. And it was just, like, craziness starts happening, of course, because whenever there's Suki, there's craziness. And yes. Eric goes to kill Bill, and they're totally fighting.
That whole episode, let me just tell you, awesome. Okay, we'll get to how I feel about the season in a second, but that whole episode was awesome. I even felt, like, reminiscent of Buffy the Vampire Slayer circa season 5, maybe, because when Suki did arrive to the Conference of Tolerance, or whatever it's called, the news conference, and Bill's talking on the stage, and she sees Marnie and Eric, and all the vampires about to come down and attack. She's like, "We're bad!" And then it ends, and I'm like, oh my god, this is like so Buffy, I love it. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. What's up? Totally. So she ends up using her powers against Eric so that he doesn't kill Bill, but what does it end up doing? It breaks the spell.
So Mr. Confused Amnesiac is no longer Mr. Confused Amnesiac. He's back to being Eric. Love Puppy is now Stud Muffin again.
And she does not know what to do with it. Like, obviously, everything ends up turning okay at the conference, festival, yes, whatever. They end up going, and Nan ends up sending everyone to go, like, glamour everybody.
Yes.
But
and Marnie and her brood escape.
Yeah, they get back into the thing where Tara and Holly and the rest of them are stuck. And whenever they go to try to get out, the door handles are like fire.
Yeah, they like burn their hands.
Yeah. But what's his, I don't even know his name, but one of the guys was with Marnie. And he came back and he was like, yeah, that was so awesome, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, we can't leave. Like, this is not awesome.
Yeah. I think his name is Roy. I'm not sure. Don't put $100 on that, but I'm going to get like two or three. I think his name is Roy. And he's loving this whole, like, war in his head because I think it's kind of crazy. And yeah, I don't know if he knows, like, so people's lives are being lost here. But he's just like, yeah, we got those bastards good.
But yeah, so Suki and Eric go back to her house, and he's just like, I'm the same person. Look in my eyes. Yeah. And she was like,
I think she recognizes the person she's been with, you know, this whole season. I think she sees him in there, but I think she sees who Eric truly is, who he, you know, had this spell not wiped out his memory and, you know, made him like this little boy. She really sees who Eric is as a whole person. So, I mean, it's confusing. Like, yes, you're still in there, the guy who I loved up on, but yet you're this, like, kind of jerk and kind of like this mean vampire, you know? So it's got to be confusing for her.
And, of course, Pam feels this. She feels that he's okay. She rushes over to the house. She gets there and she's like, is it true? Is it really you? Oh my goodness. Why didn't you call for me right away? And he just kind of looks at Suki like, yeah.
Yeah. I got time to deal with my baby right here. I got time for everybody else. Yeah.
Exactly. But he goes, don't worry about me. Go back. I'll be fine. We're good. Everything's okay. Yeah. And he's just like, we'll talk about it later.
I really feel like True Blood would benefit from having more episodes. Like, I totally get, you know, it's HBO, and I totally get why they have to do these short seasons and stuff. But, I mean, there's just so much more, I feel like, in-depth they could get. Like, I think the Pam and Eric relationship is, like, one of the strongest aspects of the show. And so, even though there are, like, subtle things that happen throughout these seasons and certain episodes and stuff, and you see their relationship, I mean, there's just so much more they could go into, and you would just feel so much more connected to the show.
Mm-hmm.
If I had maybe, like, 16 episodes per season or something, I mean, I would love 22, but...
But, yeah, know. That's...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent there. I love True Blood.
So that's what kind of is happening with Eric and Sookie and Pam. They're kind of off trying to figure things out. But Tommy.
Yes, back to Tommy.
Yeah, he goes. He's with Alcide, and he's not doing really well. They get to Merlot's. Sam comes pulling up, and he's sitting there, and Alcide tells him he's not going to make it. This is not just, he has the right to choose when he leaves, and he's ready.
Yeah, he's, I mean, boy, you've had a rough life. You made some bad decisions. Like, I'd be ready to go, too. I was ready for you to go, like, you know, episode one, season four. So, it's about time, Tommy. I'm glad you chose your fate.
You lasted 10 more episodes than I wanted you to.
Yeah, I'm not really too sad to see him go. But
it was really heartwarming, that scene where Sam was telling him, you know, I love you no matter what. I'm glad that you came into my life and you made me better. And then Tommy kind of slips away and ends up passing away from all of his injuries. And then Sam goes off.
Yes.
And was like, we need to go find Marcus and we need to go figure this out because he is dead.
He is. Yeah, Sam is pissed. I agree. The whole scene with Sam and Tommy saying goodbye to one another and how he'll always be his brother and he'll never forget him. Totally a character I hate. Totally got misty eyed, totally had a tear or two. Mostly from Sam, I think. Sam really sold it that this is someone he cared about. But it was just really sad to see Sam happy to go through another heartbreak.
Yeah, it was. It really was. But him and Alcide come together and they really start looking for for Marcus, and they go back to the shop, and Marcus isn't there, but one of the guys who did beat up Tommy was there, and they start, you know, beating up on him, and Alcide holds him back, and
That's my baby!
Sam goes for it, and it's like, but I didn't do anything. Yeah, but I told you to stop. And so they go for it, and they go to look for Marcus, and he's like, you know what? You might not be Marcus, but you'll do.
Yep, and he beats his ass. Mm-hmm. And, yep, Alcide's a good man, that one. Oh, yes, Sam's good, too, but Alcide, you know, he had his back. He kind of betrayed his own kind a little bit, but he did what was right and not what was easy.
Can we please talk about Terry and Andy in this episode? Oh my God.
Oh, my God, yes, go for it.
So, Andy, the last episode, he took some V trying to fight, to figure out the whole Lafayette thing with Mavis. He took some V, and he had the bottle of V in the house. Well, they find the bottle of V, and Arlene goes off and is like, you are addicted, and I want you out of here. I can't believe you would do this around my children. And he starts denying it, and well, Terry takes him and was like, okay, well, guess what? You're coming with me. And he takes them to their old treehouse, and they start to talk about, you know, everything that they've gone through together as a family, and, you know, Terry kind of getting over his PTSD and his issues from war there at the treehouse, and he, like, basically tells Andy, come on, if you think you're fine, then shoot those cans over there. And they're like trying to go through this, and Andy reveals how jealous he was of Terry, and Terry says, hey, I had nothing to be jealous of. You know, we were getting your hand-me-downs. I had nothing. I had to go into the army because I didn't have any of the money that you had. So they like reveal this whole backstory with the two of them, and you really get that feeling that they are a family.
Yeah, you really did.
Oh, it was just really touching. And by the end of that whole scene, it was, okay, you know, I'm ready to start fresh and I'm ready to go for it and make a better life for myself. And then Terry's like, okay, well, I'll go grab the car. And he grabs the car and he's like, you know what? I think this is going to be really good for you, Andy. You're going to be great, especially when you walk home. And he drives away. And he's like, are you kidding me? I have to walk home. But it was a really, really sweet, revealing portion of the episode. Mm-hmm. But I liked it.
And yeah, I really like that, the Terry and Andy storyline as well. I was reading not too long ago that some of the negative reviews about this season has been that we're not spending time with, like, the core, which would be, like, Sookie, Bill, and Eric, which is funny because I feel like we are, but whatever. Some of the reviews, and we're spending more time with lesser characters like Arlene, like Hoyt, like Terry and Andy. But I'm like, I'm still fascinated by them. Like, the Terry, you know, I that whole scene about the war and just everything, I just thought it was so great.
They have as much a part in the show as anybody else does, and I think that's what makes the show so good, is that it's not centered around Sookie, even though it is. It's like, instead of one character being the main character, the town is the main character.
Yeah,
and which so, I love. Yeah, so you get to see pieces of everyone's life. Yeah. And not just one person's perspective of the town. It's everyone's, how they interact with each other, and how the town is a part of them. So I think it's really cool that way.
Yeah,
and
I
like being able to see, you know, Jessica and Jason hook up and see Hoyt get pissed off. And in this episode, see Hoyt come over to Jason's all pouty. And I can't stay in that house, and he's crying, and the whole
all
thing.
All pouty-pouty until he breaks down and starts crying over Jessica.
And, of course, Jason's like, I cannot have this. So he goes over to Sookie and is like, please, let me stay. Let me stay here, because he is killing me over there.
Yeah. Marnie. Back to Marnie.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
We leave off last... We left off with them where they had left the Festival of Tolerance. They went back to, you know, the Witch's Den. And then Antonia, her spirit, comes out of Marnie. And she was very upset, distraught about what she witnessed. Because at one point during the Festival of Tolerance, she saw all the bloodied, bruised bodies of innocent people, not vampires, but just like innocent people like she once was, hurt and bleeding on the floor. So when they get back to the Witch's Den, Antonia's like, wow, I didn't mean for any of this to happen. Like, I was not trying to hurt innocent people.
This was not what I wanted to do. This is just not it.
I wanted to hurt vampires that hurt me. I did not want to hurt people who have families and friends and anything like that. And so... come to find out, Marnie, she's not the innocent, poor little possessed witch. She's the one that pretty much wants Antonia to possess her to have ultimate power.
Because
Marnie's fucking crazy.
Yeah, she's batshit crazy. She is totally running the show. And she is like, guess what? We need to do this. You're going to do this. Remember all the pain that they caused you? Remember all of that? Yeah. You're pissed off. I'm pissed off for you. We're connected. You're going to do this. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so she convinces her, gets her all riled up again, convinces her that they need to do this, and she goes, okay.
Yeah.
And she jumps back in her, and then they're
crazy.
Like... yeah, she's like, okay, I'm ready to go. Well, she's put up a protective barrier around the shop, and she cast some spell that had everyone, like, in a couple miles, like, go away.
Yeah.
So it's just them in the shop and their protective barrier. But Sookie hears that Bill and Eric, for that matter, saying that they need to kill Marnie, destroy the Moon Goddess Emporium, and just be done with the whole thing. Just get it over with, kill him, do whatever you have to do, but it needs to go away. And Sookie gets worried. Hey, Tara's in there, and I don't want her to get hurt. This isn't right. So when Jason goes over there, she explains it to him, and Jason's like, oh, hell no, we can't let this happen. So Lafayette and Jesus get involved. And so it's Lafayette, Jesus, Sookie, and Jason.
God, I love this show. Yes, it's another sort of like two teams going against each other.
So they're going, well, they're going to try to see what's going on at the Emporium and to see what to do next. Well, they're hiding behind a car, and Sookie's trying to hear inside there, and what she hears is Tara saying...
No, wait, which is a great line. Tara's like, I'm trying to listen, you know, in on what's going on in there, but there's so many voices. And so Lafayette says, listen for Terrence. She's the loudest.
And yes, she was the loudest.
And that's awesome.
And so she hears her saying how that they're stuck inside there and, you know, they're trying to figure some way out to figure everything out. And so... Of course, Jesus being Jesus was like, great idea. Great idea, folks. I will go inside. I will talk to Marnie. I will have Antonia kind of let me talk to Marnie and find out what's happening. Because my friend Marnie wouldn't let this happen. So he does. He starts going over there and he's going through the barrier.
Yeah, it was like some like. Force field, like,
yeah,
it was like in pain. He was trying to just,
but he like changes. You can see his demonic self go through, and she is Marnie and Antonia are like, awesome, this is cool. Yeah.
They were impressed. I was like, freaked out. I'm like, he looks like a demon. Oh my god, like, halfway through him walking through the barrier, his like. Face change, and he had, like, these horns, and
creepy Jesus. And he kind of falls.
Never thought I'd say creepy Jesus, but creepy Jesus.
He kind of falls, and of course, Lafayette is like, let me go get my boo. I need to protect him.
I know, but, right?
But they say, hey, hey, hey. I can hear him.
Sookie, Jason, shut up, fool, sit down.
Yeah, and Sookie's like, I can hear him. He says it's going to be okay. Don't, like, we're fine. So he goes in and convinces Antonia to let him talk to Marnie. And Marnie is like, isn't this awesome?
Yeah.
Have you seen what I'm doing? And I have vampires on the back. And this is so cool. Like,
I love your Marnie voice. I got vampires in the back. Go also hell.
Serious. And he transmits to Sookie, oh my god, Marnie's in control.
Yes.
This is bad news.
This is bad news. Don't forget either that Tara and Holly, the waitress from Merlot's, who've been, I don't know how long they've been trapped in that poor den, but they've been there for
days.
At least, you know, days, 4 or 5 days. And so while Marnie's been out and about doing her own little thing, and they've been stuck there, Holly has been like trying to figure out a way to get through the barrier. So she's reading all these books in Latin. And,
you know, I loved that. She's like, this is in Latin. It's just like, do you know Latin? Oh yeah. I learn Latin on my spare time in between my job. And yeah. No, I don't know Latin. We're just gonna have to fake
crazy?
It.
Yeah.
She's like, but couldn't I like blow people up? Or, like, do something completely wrong. There's a strong possibility that that could happen.
Yes. But like you said, Holly told Tara, you know, it's more about the intentions of the spell. Like, we think the goddesses will understand if we didn't get this word correctly. We're just trying to get out and, you know, get out to the real world and try to help you. So...
they're working on their spell. They end up being able to run out. And... they get through, I don't even know if they got through the...
they got through the door, and so they started running out towards, like, where the barrier would be. Sookie, Lafayette, they start racing towards them. Jason, for some reason, it takes him a second. Pretty Jason, he got either, right? You know,
he was, like, tripped up by something.
He was tripped up by something. Like, there was maybe a shiny light or a pretty penny on the floor.
He's like, ooh, pretty. Shiny.
Shiny. So it took him a minute to see that everybody was running towards each other. And he's like, oh, I better run, too. And so as they're about to meet Marnie Antonia, we need a name for her.
Martonia
storms out of the witch's den, and she's like, oh, hells no. And then, bam.
Casts a spell on them, and Holly, Tara, Lafayette, and Sookie all disappear.
Disappear before our eyes.
Yeah.
And
Jason is left there, like, all dummy Jason.
Poor dummy, like, Jason.
Oh my god, what just happened?
Exactly. What did just happen? Everybody's gone, and I'm here all alone in the street.
Best part of the episode. Best part of the episode. Then, pretty much the next scene, last scene of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
A van pulls up, and out of the back comes Bill, Eric, Jessica, and Pam, all in black.
All in black. I mean, it was straight out of, like, an action film, like,
right?
Die Hard. Or,
oh, no, like total action flick.
Yeah.
They bust
and the
open
song,
the door.
Burning down the house.
Oh,
my God. It was just, like, the song, the visual, them doing a
slow action walk.
All of
them have, like, these guns and arrows and all this kind of crazy stuff. And
Bad-ass.
They're all slow motion walking towards the Moon Goddess Emporium.
Yes, they are ready to kill that bitch.
OMG. That's
yes.
All I have to say. I was
I was screaming too. I was like, what? You can't end there. The Talking Head song, awesome. Everything just clicked in that moment. I was just like, yeah, kick some ass. I was angry. I wanted to go next door and kick some ass. I was going to burn down my neighbor's house. It's like, I lost your true blood.
Oh, it was great. It was great.
Awesome. So that's pretty much where we left off with everybody. Sam's on a hunt for Marcus with Alcide being his friend. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Shoot, before we even
did
that.
Oh, my God. Debbie?
Marcus and Debbie?
Yeah. So Marcus comes over to look for Alcide because he is not happy that Alcide was not happy about him kicking Tommy's ass. And so I'm getting totally distracted right now. I have to tell you because there's this GIF on one of the pages that I'm on. And it's one tip for a tiny belly.
Oh, God,
and
one
it's
tip. Don't eat so much, fatty. There's your tip.
And it's and it has a girl lifting up her shirt drawn out. And it's a flabby belly and, like, a big butt with, like, extra buns on the bottom. A four butt.
Okay.
And it goes to a skinny waist and a skinny butt. And it's really distracting me because I'm really jealous of this drawing right now.
Really good.
Okay, so I was really getting distracted. Anyways.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was True Blood, and it has been amazing.
It has been amazing. Did we finish the Debbie Marcus?
Oh, I guess not.
You got this.
Sorry,
Jason.
I was totally distracted.
Jason, put
shiny,
down the penny.
Shiny, shiny.
Shiny, shiny, pretty, pretty.
So, yeah, Marcus comes over.
Looking for Alcide, and Debbie's like, oh, he's out and about. He hasn't come home in a couple hours. I'm sorry, ho. He is busy trying to clean up a mess that your packmaster, who you still wanted to be involved with, created. So Alcide is, of course, being the most amazing man in the world and trying to take care of this problem. So
and
that's
Debbie,
where he is.
Ho of the week.
Ho of the week. Dirty, trashy werewolf ho of the week would be
Debbie.
Tammy, I'm True Blood.
And she's basically telling him, well, he's saying how he has a daughter and blah, blah, blah. And she's going, oh, yeah, Alcide doesn't want kids. Oh, but all I can think about is having children. Oh, I can't wait to have kids, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, having kids is the best thing ever that ever happened in my entire life.
Yeah, it's clearly like, let's just do it on the couch before Alcide gets home.
And then he, like, moves her hair out of her face and was like, you can have kids if you want to. And
you
gross.
You disgust me, Marcus. Gross. And you disgust me, Debbie Ho.
And she was totally for it, too.
She was down. She was going to get it. Don't worry.
DTF to the max.
Mm-hmm.
Ho.
Ho. Bo. Show.
Hopefully.
So, yes, that's where everybody's at right now. True Blood, Season 4. I don't care what the critics are saying. I don't care what Twitter's saying. I am in love, and I think this is my favorite season. The only thing, like I said before, the only negative thing would be the Eric Sookie, let's stay in bed and talk about our feelings for two episodes. But other than that, True Blood, Season 4, it's off the chain. Everything for me is working.
Definitely, definitely.
That was True Blood. Yeah!
Yeah!
Two episodes to go, one tomorrow, one September 11th, and I'm going to be so sad that it's going to be a year before we talk about it again.
I know. Oh my gosh. Your upcoming episodes, a new season, new fall season lineups, will be coming in the next week or so, in the next couple episodes. So listen out for those great recommendations, all the new shows, and what we're excited about. P.S. We found out that chocolate ice cream plus popcorn equals amazing. Yeah.
Chocolate ice cream, popcorn. I know Junior and popcorn go really well together.
Well, it accidentally fell into my ice cream bowl. Because I was eating them at the same time. So I kind of mixed them with my melting ice cream. And it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. But I gotta tell you, movie theater popcorn is really good.
I know, I never go to the movie theater. And even the drive-in popcorn is okay. It's not as good as movie theater popcorn.
I know. Why is movie theater popcorn so delicious?
I know. I really want to just go to the movie theater to buy popcorn.
Yes.
But
if you get that when you come visit me in where I live, because across the street, you can just go into there, like the little, what is it, concession stand, and you don't have to pay for a movie or anything. You just go get the concession stand. So, yes, I frequently dream about walking next door, getting popcorn, and coming home.
I think that is a fantastic idea. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, movie theater popcorn is amazing, and now I want to go get some right now, because I'm starving.
So that's it for us this week. If you want to give us a call, you can call us at 805-24-COUCH, or shoot us an email at thecouchcasters@gmail.com, and
yes.
You can follow us on Twitter
at the Couchcasters.
At the Couchcasters, yeah.
Or at our personal Twitter account, which is at DrewRayG for the Kunkle.
Or at @ALX_Marie for me, Alex Marie. And that's it for us this week.
Really follow us.
Totally should. Totally.
Yes.
It's been nice chatting with you guys. Hope you like it.
We're fabulous.
We are. Have a great week.
Hope you enjoyed episode 7.
Yay, episode 7. Bye.